Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our midweek meditation as we consider the important subject of stewardship, the things given to us to take care of, and this is part one. But first let's pray. O Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. To begin with, our reading is from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 31, and I'm reading from the NIV. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Just to there, may God bless his word to us today and always. Over the next couple of weeks, we will consider that well-known and, I hope, interesting subject called stewardship. Today, I wish to begin by dealing with the concept of stewardship. To do so, let's look at the definition of this word. Merriam's dictionary defines stewardship like this: the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. And this is not far at all from what the Bible's understanding of stewardship is. To start our journey, we need to commence at the very beginning. In the beginning, God creates human beings in his image and likeness, meaning that we bear similarities with God, but we are not identical in every way, since clearly we are not miniature gods. The similarities are, for example, that we are capable of love, communication, being in community, having relationships, reasoning, care, and creativity, to name a few. All of this is possible because we are created in the image and likeness of God. From our reading, we find that God immediately bestows upon his human creatures, Adam and Eve, and all who would follow, responsibilities. See in verse 26 where God says, "Let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And at this point, I'm sure that we realize that rulership is dependent upon God, because his authority is delegated to humankind. It does not originate in ourselves. But this is not all. Let's read again verses 28 to 29, where God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food." What we notice here is the following. First of all, because human beings are created in God's image, they are his representatives on earth, and in a very real sense, we were given a special vocation or calling. And Genesis 1 and 2 present the special vocation of human beings in two ways. It is expressed in Genesis 1 as having dominion over the creatures of the earth. And in chapter 2, verse 15, we see it as tilling and keeping the garden in which they have been placed. The Lord took man, it says, and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. These two accounts of the creation have different implications, suggesting that we are to be enlightened or mindful rulers of other creatures on the one hand, and on the other hand, we are to be careful gardeners with respect to our relationship with the earth. But in both, the common theme is that humans are to promote the flourishing of all creatures of the earth together. Of course, this is in complete contradiction to the way dominion has been understood in most of history, particularly the modern period. What has influenced humanity's thinking on the matter is the fall, which completely disrupted the human vocation as God intended, in ways that have echoed down through the ages, as we have witnessed humans working for their own ends in opposition to what God first had in mind. But as we see in Scripture, God acts again and again to deal with persistent sin and to attempt to re-establish human beings in their vocation. And the awareness of this can be seen in Psalm chapter 8, verse 4-8, which seems to continue the theme. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Now, while this passage in Psalm 8, especially verses 6-8, reminds us of what God determined in Genesis, the New Testament sees the same verses as also speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ in his present reign and his coming triumph, which is to be shared with his redeemed people in the end. Nevertheless, it was definitely clear in the understanding of God's people that, as those created in the image of the living God and then crowned, as it were, with glory and honor, they were therefore not just another species of the animal kingdom in this world. This is made clearer because of the concept of ruling over all the earth in verse 26 of our Genesis reading, something that was understood to be carried out as God's representatives. Thus, humans, ideally, were to represent God's interests, God's policy on matters regarding his creation, to care for creation as God would care for it. Now, if we were to stop and think for a moment, of all the things that are going on in the world, I think we will agree that human beings do not often act in the interest of their Creator. One might say that human beings very often do not even think about what God's mind is on certain issues. Some don't even believe there is a God. Rule, then, implies lordship, but not exploitation. The idea is more about caretaking. Thus, humankind, as God's representative, must be caretakers of his subjects as God does for their own good. And here, as we conclude, is what we should take away from this. We are responsible as God's representatives to care for our world as God would do so. Of course, in the very broadest sense, humankind is also responsible. But as God's people, we bear a greater burden when it comes to being caretakers of all things that we have around us in creation. Every time we do not play some kind of role in representing God's interests will be an opportunity lost, with consequences that we cannot begin to calculate, and we cannot really tell what our inaction will result in. To illustrate the point about responsibility and the consequences of inaction, there is a story about a man who worked in Paris at the end of the 1800s. His job was to lay down cobbles in the streets of the French capital. It was hard work, and one night he became so tired that, just before darkness descended, he decided to go home. He still had a few more cobbles to lay, but that job could wait until the next morning, in his view. That night, a horse and carriage came along the very street where he had been working, and the horse tripped in the hole that he hadn't filled up. The driver was thrown to the ground and instantly killed. The dead man left behind a wife and two daughters. Because there was no social security in those days, and therefore no income coming in, The two girls were forced out onto the streets to sell themselves. It was the only way they could earn money. The mother died of TB and malnutrition a few months later. The girls, because of the nature of their work, soon led many men astray and were responsible for the breakup of several marriages. The circle of their bad influence just got wider and wider. This is not to say that the men were not responsible for their actions either, but at the end of the day, who do you think was responsible for that terrible situation that affected hundreds of people? It seems that we can go all the way back to the man who didn't finish his job properly. Now, we can tell these and many other stories, but his sense of responsibility and accountability did not enter his thinking, and most likely, he may not have felt the burden of the damage that followed. But we, as God's people, made in the image of God, along with the rest of humanity, need to understand the implications of the story of our beginnings with our Creator. We, as God's people, made in His image, need to make it our business to know the extent of God's interest in matters here on earth and what His policies are, and then to try and play an active role in promoting His interests. In other words, we need to develop a working knowledge of God's Word. And this does not come easily except through a relationship with our Creator. We simply cannot hope that someone else will take up the cause of taking care of what God has given us. It is ours to do, and to do well. And so I trust you will join me next week for part 2. Let's pray. Dear God, please help us to be concerned for all things, the souls of people, as well as the world in which we live. All of these things exist under your care. So grant us the grace and strength to avoid being so spiritually minded as to be of no earthly use, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.